All right, and here we go. Welcome back into the Rocky Top Insider Preview Podcast. It is week 8. It is Alabama week. It is the third Saturday in October. My name is Rick Beller. Join with me, as always, Ryan Shumpert from Rocky Top Insider. Ryan, good afternoon, my friend. We are in person today.
I know.
How are you doing?
I'm doing well. I think it's our first time recording one of these in person, so it feels a little bit different. But
I think it is.
Glad to be talking a little bit of football. And yeah, third Saturday in October, I've been, you know, it's the fourth Saturday in October this year, and that's been just a mental mess for me this week, whether to use the third Saturday in October title. I've gone back and forth on it all week, so glad to be breaking it down here.
Wow, I didn't even know that. I guess there has been four weeks in October now, but a little bit of a switch up this year.
Do you know
if there was, like, why that maybe came to fruition that way?
The only hunch I have is, you know, you have between September, October, and November, one of those months has 5 weeks every year, and this year it is October. So I guess with that extra week, that game gets pushed back to the fourth Saturday. But, I mean, it's happened some over the past decade or so, but definitely back to fourth Saturday this year.
No doubt about it, man. Well, either way, no matter if it is on the third or the fourth Saturday, we will be talking about it right here because it is the next game for Tennessee. This is going to be a tough one. On the road at Alabama, number 4 ranked in the country. The Tide are 6-1 on the year so far, 3-1 in the SEC. Not only is this going to be a game on the road, not only is it against a rival, but it is a night game as well. So you know there's going to be a rowdy environment, especially when a rival like Tennessee comes into town. We will be getting into that game soon, but like always, Ryan, I do kind of want to start back by going backwards in the time machine a little bit, going back to last Saturday, giving a little bit of closing thoughts on the Ole Miss game, then talking about what we've seen this week, then obviously moving into Saturday. So let's go back a little bit. Let's go back to last Saturday. What are some of your closing thoughts from that Ole Miss game? Wild. There are countless storylines that you could choose from, but what kind of stands out to you the most?
No, you're right. Definitely countless storylines to take from it. But I think overall, my remaining thoughts is kind of what we echoed after the game, and that Tennessee's defense played really, really well. Obviously, issues with the third down draw plays. But as a whole, you know, you give up, Tennessee's defense gives up 31 points. 7 of those come on a short field. You give up 7 points in the second half, and then you have 2 situations in the fourth quarter where you have to get a stop to give your offense a chance to win, and Tennessee's defense got it done both times, one with an interception of Matt Corral, the first he's thrown all season. So that unit, I thought, played just tremendous. And when you go back and look at kind of the numbers the next day, too, the snaps some players were playing, I think there were 4 Tennessee defense backs played over 100 snaps. You had Matthew Butler on the defensive line played 78 snaps, which was truly one of the most impressive, remarkable things I've ever seen. To see a defensive lineman play 78 snaps in that on its own.
Yeah.
Unheard of.
Insanity.
And then you throw against an offense that moves as quick as it does, like Ole Miss is. So, that defense gave it all it could, did all it could for Tennessee to win, and then obviously to reverse that, Tennessee's offense didn't get it done. Too many missed opportunities. I thought some conservative play calling at time, but as a whole, Tennessee's offensive line especially struggled in that game. And without Tyon Evans, they failed to kind of establish the run the way they had, and they were playing behind the sticks more Saturday than I really think they were in any game this season.
No, I think you're right. You know, Ole Miss kind of put Tennessee in a position a couple of times there, especially once the second quarter started rolling around. Tennessee was not able to get a touchdown there in the second quarter when Ole Miss put 2 on the board. And Ryan, I think you're right, man. I think that did kind of put Tennessee a little bit behind the eight ball and kind of changed the game plan that they had to use. And so with Tennessee having to change a little bit of their game plan, with them now missing key players on the line, in the backfield, wherever you want to look at now, also having to change the game plan, I think, again, that just provided a couple of opportunities, or maybe a couple of challenges that were tough for Tennessee to overcome. But nonetheless, through it all, they were. I mean, there were times where Ole Miss kept breaking away and Tennessee would continue to not get left behind in the dust. I thought they did a really great job of being resilient, especially in the second half. You know, you did need a little bit more points from the offense, but you can't ask much more from the defense. Giving up only 1 touchdown in the third quarter, giving up no touchdowns and no points in the fourth quarter. I mean, that's how you close a game right there. That's pretty much everything you could ask for out of a defense in order to close the game. But no doubt about it, Tennessee did show a lot of resiliency, I felt like, in what was a raucous atmosphere as well.
Definitely, and I think we said it going into the game that it was against Ole Miss's offense. You didn't even really know what it was going to look like because Ole Miss goes for it so much on fourth down. They don't turn it over. How does Tennessee stop? I mean, they're going to give up yards to Ole Miss. How does Tennessee get stops? And that's kind of exactly how the game played out. Tennessee gave up a lot of yards. Ole Miss moved the ball really well, ran a lot more plays than Tennessee. Let's see if I can find the final number here. I'll find it later. But they ran a lot more. I think it was like 101-78, something in that range. So, but Tennessee's defense, they got the one turnover. They almost had two more. You had the Tyler Tyler Barron play that gets called back. Matthew Butler strips Matt Corral on a play. Ole Miss recovers, and then just like I said, can Tennessee put four good plays together at times? And they did that. They found a way to get a couple fourth down stops. One was that interception, but Tennessee's defense it made enough plays to stay in the game, and Tennessee's offense just seemed to be in a lot of third and longs. Cade Mays went down. Dane Davis had a really poor game, and that kind of forced Hendon Hooker to be scrambling a little bit more and just kind of put Tennessee's offense a little out of rhythm, I think.
Yeah, you know, a lot of people were talking about play calling, especially during the game, but I really think that once you go back and look in hindsight, you know, a lot of the reason for maybe a little bit of the sporadic play calling or just some of the play calling didn't feel as efficient as it has in games previously, but at the same time, they were dealing with a completely different pre-snap and immediate post-snap look from the defense, right? In which in previous games against South Carolina, against Missouri, yeah, Hendon Hooker is going to have a little bit more time to drop back, you know, set up where he wants to go. When you do have the Mays brothers in, it's going to give you more protection. So I really just felt like Tennessee was trying to do a lot with a little in terms of they just didn't really have much time to set up plays. And in their offense, a lot of the success is built on the setup and the establishment and the building of plays. Tennessee just couldn't really do that. And again, like you were saying, some of that's due to injuries. I think some of that was due to game plan. Some of that being just due to the fact that, hey, Ole Miss is a very good team. And especially I think when you look at the defense, you know, there were just times where, hey, Matt Corral just made a Heisman contender level play. You know, and sometimes you're just going to go up against that. By the way, I did see that thing on Pro Football Focus yesterday. I wonder if you did as well. The three highest graded quarterbacks right now in college football, Kenny Pickett, Pittsburgh's quarterback, Matt Corral, Ole Miss's quarterback, and Bryce Young, the next quarterback that Tennessee is going to be facing coming up on Saturday. So, man, what a gauntlet for Tennessee, right? The three best quarterbacks all on Tennessee's pretty much first half of the season.
You're right. No, I did see that that stat now that you mentioned it. And it's funny. One, Alabama, look, Bryce Young, really good player. You expect Alabama to have a really good quarterback. And Ole Miss, you get him every 7 years, and Tennessee's gotten Bo Wallace, that was his name, right? I'm not messing him up, Bo Nix. Bo Wallace at Ole Miss, 2014. Matt Corral, who's right up there in the Heisman front runner. But what's more remarkable than that, more remarkable than anything, and it's so funny that I had never really even thought about this, but a guy I cut follow and kind of become internet buddies with in the media that went to Vanderbilt is the one who pointed out Tennessee in non-conference games has faced Kenny Pickett, the best quarterback Pitt has had in forever.
Yep.
They faced Zach Wilson, the best quarterback BYU had had in forever.
Yep.
They faced Baker Mayfield, which that one, in fairness, is a little bit like the Alabama one. You expect Oklahoma to have good quarterbacks, but
still a Heisman winner nonetheless.
Heisman winner, first overall pick in the NFL draft. And then they get Will Grier at West Virginia, who was the best quarterback West Virginia had, I guess, since Geno Smith, but was really, really good. So Tennessee just seems to find a way to always run into these really good quarterbacks in non-conference play when they just randomly play an opponent in a game that was scheduled 10 years before. This kind of shows the luck of Tennessee's football program this last decade.
Yeah, that really is unbelievable. You're right. When you do look at the string of consistency almost.
Marcus Mariota at Oregon back when Butch Jones was there. I mean, another school you kind of expect good quarterbacks, especially at that point. But still, Marcus Mariota was the best quarterback Oregon had in maybe the program's history.
Yeah. Wow. That's quite the stat right there. Certainly Tennessee has had to run the gauntlet for almost a decade straight in terms of their non-conference quarterback opponents. But real quick, before we get into a little bit of the things that are starting to happen this week, before we get into the Alabama preview, give you a quick update on the SEC rankings right now in the East. Tennessee still ranks at 3. You got Georgia at the top at 5-0 in the conference. Kentucky at second at 4-1 of the conference, and then you got Tennessee right there at 2-2 in the SEC, right above Florida, who is 2-3. That's a different story for a different day, but man, they have they've crumbled a little bit here of late.
I believe Florida's last two SEC wins. Ah, they beat Vanderbilt. So you take out the Vanderbilt game, their last two SEC wins are Tennessee this year and Tennessee last year.
Oh, my.
Tennessee, and Vanderbilt. Like, I think Florida, it's like 3-5 in their last eight SEC games or something like that, all of them coming against teams in the state of Tennessee.
What an unbelievable stat right there. Heck, I need time to just process that as it is. We'll go ahead and take a quick break right here, come back on the other side. Then we're going to get into a little bit about what has been going on this week inside the press conferences, just been what's going on in the practice field. We will be getting you ready for Alabama coming up on Saturday. Don't go anywhere. It's the Rocky Top Insider Preview Podcast.
We'll be right back. And now, back to the show.
All right, and here we go back here on the RTI Preview Podcast, Week 8, Alabama on the horizon. Tennessee right now sitting at 4-3 on the year, 2-2 in conference play. Ryan, there are a good amount of things to talk about that have just been kind of developing, if you will, throughout the week so far. One of the things that I've been keeping my eye on the most, I know you and I have been talking about it all week, is just, again, injury status. One of those guys being Hendon Hooker. So if you go back to Monday on Heupel's just opening press conference to the week, he mentioned three guys. He mentioned Hendon Hooker, Cade Mays, and Tyon Evans as three guys who were day-to-day for the week. And then coming back on Thursday, which is today, continued that sentiment a little bit. Just kind of said, you know, very vague, saying that, yes, he's been able to work on the practice field a little bit. They're not going to know until game day, so on and so forth. But do you take anything out of the day-to-day diagnoses, I guess, that that some of these players have had? Timetables, maybe.
Yeah, I do with Hendon Hooker, just because that when that play happened and how long he was down on the field, and not his actions, but his kind of mood on the sideline with, like, you know, a towel over his head, a lot of guys coming over and talking to him. It didn't seem like that he was going to be cut playing anymore this year after he suffered that injury against Ole Miss on the final drive. But Heupel says day-to-day. I'm not sure I really buy that, but he does say not a long-term injury, and I do buy that. I think this is the case with a lot of Tennessee's injured guys this week, but especially Hendon Hooker. You have an Alabama team that if you have everyone healthy, you'd have to play a perfect game and catch some breaks to beat. You got the bye week, and then you have the Kentucky game, which is the biggest toss-up left on Tennessee's schedule, a huge game. So I would think Tennessee would just be trying to get Hendon Hooker healthy for that Kentucky game, give him 2 weeks off. And like you said, he's been on the practice field doing some stuff this week.
Yeah.
But 2 weeks off to get fully comfortable, and especially when you're talking about a guy like Hendon Hooker, when so much of his effectiveness is what he can do with his legs, you need that guy to be as close to 100%, or his performance will drop off more farther down from 100% than a pocket passer would.
Yeah, I mean, that's a great way to talk about it. The way that Tennessee's offense in so many different cases is game planned to scheme to be able to make the quarterback a threat, right? Even if he's not going to always throw it. You go back to that, what was it, against South Carolina, I believe, the deep pass over the middle to Javonte Payton. That was a play that was completely set up from a little bit of a fake quarterback run to the right side, and then he was able to take a step back, throw it deep to Javonte Payton. Again, you need to be able to have your quarterback at least kind of threaten the run. And I think that's a big part of what Tennessee's offense is and really why it's been able to be successful. So I agree with you. I think it's going to be really fascinating on Saturday night just to see what it is. You know, I kind of more inclined to believe right now that Joe Milton would get the start this Saturday against Alabama just based on what we've heard in the public interviews and things like that. What do you think?
No, I'm with you. I do think Joe Milton's still ahead of Harrison Bailey, and I would just be skeptical. I'd be surprised if Hooker ends up playing on Saturday. That just doesn't seem, you know, he's just had a limited participation in practice, and Heupel even said that, you know, it comes down to, you know, what the doctors say. If the doctors say he's able to play, so he hasn't even been completely cleared to be out there and playing with contact. So I'm kind of with you. I'll be interested to see on those other guys too. Cade Mays, Tyon Evans, Elijah Simmons, Cooper Mays. So those guys, Cooper Mays seems like he's getting closer and closer. There's kind of been rumbles about him possibly playing the last 2 weeks. He hasn't. He's dressed out both those games. I wonder if he's closer. Cade Mays sounds like a high ankle sprain, another kind of case that I'd be a little surprised if he plays this weekend. And Tyon was the same case as Cooper, where he went through warm-ups last week. He didn't dress out for the game while Cooper did, so that is a little bit of a difference. But yeah, it'll just be interesting to see how much they force the issue with playing some of these guys that are 75-80%.
Right, yeah, no doubt about it. It's going to be really interesting to see what they do. And again, not that this is a game that Alabama is favored to win heavily, right? They have a 91.2% chance, according to ESPN. They are a 25-point favorite right now on Thursday. So no doubt about it, this is not necessarily the Ole Miss game where you're saying, hey, this could be a perfect storm where everything's kind of leaning in the right direction for Tennessee. I think just knowing the task at hand, knowing the challenge at hand, yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if Tennessee does, you know, want to maybe take a little bit of a step back, still competing as hard as they always do, but maybe playing a little bit smarter in the long run. Now, real quick, before we get into this Bama preview, man, do you have any kind of thoughts on the big story that kind of came out of the last couple days, just with Jeremy Pruitt, with Phil Fulmer, with Rick Barnes? I know that has nothing really to do with Saturday's game, but hey, it's still a big story that came out in the middle of the week. Any kind of thoughts on the craziness?
Yeah, no, I'm glad you brought that up, because it felt like there was something. I was like, I feel like there's something we need to talk about besides just the football, and that's what it was. But so yeah, I'm glad you brought it up. It's definitely a wait and see type of situation. When all that stuff got put out, I guess that was Tuesday this week, when Blake Topmeyer with the Knoxville News Sentinel, USA Today Network, put out that report. That's still 10 days away from the deadline that Jeremy Pruitt and his lawyer set to reach a settlement.
Right.
I think it's still them playing hardball right now. From what I've heard, I do think Tennessee has not been negotiating with Pruitt. And Pruitt claims, and his lawyer claims, to have a lot of this information. I would think, he probably has something. How much does he have? I'm sure he's trying to make it over dramatic and acted like he has more, and I'm sure Tennessee is trying to make their case over dramatic. So I guess that's was my overall takeaway. I think both sides are just posturing for space, and in the end, while Tennessee hasn't really negotiated with them, I still expect a settlement, because I don't think Tennessee wants to let this stuff get out, and I don't think, but at the same time, that's one end of it, and I think people have focused on that, and for good reason. I don't think Tennessee wants – I don't think their donors – Larry Pratt was mentioned as someone that they wanted the files out for. I don't think Larry Pratt's going to want that, and that's a guy who just gave $5 million to Lindsey Nelson Stadium renovations a month ago, so I imagine he has a little bit of sway in the athletic department. But at the same time, Jeremy Pruitt wants no part of standing there on the stand and having to answer questions about what he did at Tennessee, because I do think Tennessee has quite a bit of stuff that could keep Jeremy Pruitt out of coaching college football for a long time.
Yeah, one of the most fascinating things to me, and I agree with so much of what you said, but even just kind of expand that a little bit, it is fascinating to me just the look, we know about the relationships, and we know about the almost fraternity-like atmosphere between the coaches. Not just at certain schools or certain levels or programs, but just the coaching world in general. You're right, yeah. Man. Like he had a laundry list of people who are upset that they were mentioned, or really who had not even ever contacted, had conversations with Pruitt, but they're now on this list. I think this is really interesting going down right now. And I'm really interested to see how Tennessee responds. If it's one of those situations where they just say, you know what, we're going to try to settle for some kind of low amount and just get this done with forever. Or if they do say, hey, you know what, no, we have been standing our ground. We're going to continue standing our ground as this thing goes forward. But wild story coming out in the middle of the week.
Definitely. And, it's kind of reminds me of when the Title IX lawsuit was going on a couple years ago and Dave Hart was the athletic director. Dave Hart was, we're not going to settle, yep. We did nothing wrong, and they settled in the end. I kind of think it's a similar situation here, and that doesn't even necessarily be a massive implication to Tennessee, but I don't think they want much of anything out in the public, and that, again, that's not even an implication to Tennessee. That would go for any school in the SEC. That would go for a lot of schools across college football. It's like Philip Fulmer said when he got hired as AD, I know where the bodies are buried. There's bodies buried at every single school, and I don't think anybody wants that information out.
That's not a reference to the Body Farm, right?
That's not a reference to the Blind Side. No Body Farm underneath. That's not where. Fulmer never made it clear where the bodies are hidden or buried. I don't think they're under Neyland Stadium, though.
That's the rumor, isn't it?
That is the rumor.
That's the rumor.
That's what the Tuies would like you to believe.
We'll be right back. And now, back to the show.
All right, here we go back here on the RTI Preview Podcast. We are wrapping up the show today. But first, before we do, want to get into a nice little preview about this Alabama game coming up on Saturday night. Again, the game will be in Tuscaloosa, Alabama. Bama is above a 3-touchdown favorite in this game. They are the number 4 ranked Tide, 6-1 on the year compared to Tennessee, 4-3 on the year. Ryan, we've kind of mentioned some of the biggest storylines, such as, you know, who is going to play for Tennessee? Will Hendon Hooker be able to go? Will Tyon Evans be able to go? Will Cade Mays be able to go? A lot of different things here, but I want to go back to yesterday to start things out. Go back to the SEC media teleconference call with all 14 SEC head coaches on it. Go back to Nick Saban's call. You know, he spoke. He was very complimentary of Tennessee and just kind of the job that Coach Heupel has been able to do this year in getting this train back started. You know, he said, "Hey, it's not even as much of a rebuilding opportunity." He's showing that it's more of a retooling opportunity, that if you can get the right tools into Tennessee, that could be a huge advantage for them. He also mentions Tyon Evans as Tennessee's best offensive player, and frankly, I think he's got a point to be made there. You know, certainly Tyon Evans, probably the most dynamic person with a ball on Tennessee's team. Who knows? Maybe you could make an argument for a Cade Mays or someone, right?
Yeah.
That's a pretty darn strong offensive player, even though, again, the points don't all go to him. But man, kind of sitting here 48 hours or so out from the game, it's going to be a night game, it's going to be rowdy over there. What are you thinking about just kind of Tennessee's task that they're coming up against this Saturday?
Well certainly a very challenging task, as it always is, playing Alabama. And this is an Alabama team that I definitely don't think is as good as the past few years, especially you look at the offense and all those guys that they lost. Najee Harris, Mac Jones, Devontae Smith, Jalen Waddle, who got hurt on the first play against Tennessee last year, but obviously was still just a really dynamic player. And you can go back a couple years further with Jerry Jeudy, Henry Ruggs. I mean, it's unbelievable how much talent they've had on that team, on top of a couple offensive linemen that have gotten picked in the first round too. So yeah, I think it's a lesser Alabama team this year, especially on the offensive side. And I guess that's where I'm most focused in on. I'll be interested to see what Tennessee's defense that continues to overachieve, continues to play better than I expected. Can they keep it up? They were on the field for 100 snaps last week, and literally a couple of the players were on the field for all 100 of those snaps. It's your last week, 8th game in a row before a bye. How does Tennessee's defense hold up in the second half in a game where, once again, they could be on the field for a lot of snaps? It feels like the floor could maybe give out on them in the second half, and that really wouldn't even be a massive criticism to Tennessee. But in that fact, and then flip it to the offense, it's hard to say with all the question marks for Tennessee.
For real.
It really is. And one thing I would say, that one matchup that I think is just a disaster for Tennessee, if Cade Mays doesn't play, just Dane Davis against Will Anderson. I mean, Will Anderson's probably, I would say, is the best pass rusher in the SEC.
Yeah.
Maybe the best defensive player in the SEC. He's certainly up there at the top. Just a really good player. And Dane Davis, obviously a guy that hasn't played a lot of football. Last week when he played, did not grade out well in the PFF grades. I believe it was Tennessee's lowest graded out player in the 40s. So that's a nightmare matchup you don't want to see for Tennessee. But I'll be interested to see almost the creativity from Heupel. He's going up against it this week. A good defense with an offense without some of it, or potentially without some of its key pieces. So I'll be interested to see what he can dial up.
Yeah, I think I certainly will be too. You know, there's going to be a lot of things going into this game. But ultimately, at the end of this game, let's think about this realistically. If all the odds were to play out the way that they look like they are right now, Tennessee ends the first 8 weeks of the season heading into their first bye week at a 4-4 record. And I think there's a lot of different ways you can go with that. Now, obviously, we will have that conversation next week when that actually does get finalized. But, man, there's just been so many things that have gone into the season so far. There's been so many ups and downs, so many different storylines for Tennessee. But I go back to something I said earlier when we were talking about the Ole Miss game. I think this is really a resilient team. Something that stood out to me this week When I think about a game like this that's going to be so challenging for Tennessee, that could be a little bit of a disappointing environment just in terms of being behind the whole game. Multiple of Tennessee players so far have talked about the brotherhood and just the culture inside the locker room, how everybody is always having each other's backs, everybody is always encouraging each other. And yes, of course, you know, you could say that's going to be a factor in the game, and that'd be a little bit cliche to say, but I do think that that does have weight and that does have importance when you go on through a season like this that, again, does have a lot of those ups and downs. Again, after 8 weeks of the season, you're likely going to be sitting at 4-4. But Tennessee will still have a good opportunity in the second half of the year. There's a lot of winnable games, I think, for this Tennessee team. But, man, you got to get through Alabama. And really, to me, a big goal is just getting out of Alabama healthy, right? Not wanting to go too, you know, not wanting to, I guess, just, you know, really cut into your depth, really cut into just some of the most important things that you need going into the next weeks and beyond. But I really think just coming out of that game healthy is going to be really important. And just showing that, hey, yeah, you know, you might not have all the pieces to compete with them or to even be within, you know, maybe a single-digit game. But I think that you can still show something that Tennessee has shown all season. Say, hey, even though they're not there yet, we know that this is a different team than, you know, basically anything that Alabama had played from Tennessee in the last couple of years.
No, I think you're right on that. And that was something we talked about before the season, right? Start of fall camp. All that stuff's great, the team camaraderie, but it's got to show up. It's got to make a difference. Yeah. And I think it without a doubt has through the first seven weeks of the season. And then I guess just the last thought closing up real quick. A perfect time bye week for Tennessee. You get it after the Alabama game, which is always a good time to rest up. Kentucky game, really big game, winnable game against a really good Kentucky team. And then it's also right in the middle, you know, that four-week gauntlet stretch everyone was talking about of Ole Miss, Alabama, Kentucky, Georgia. You get it right in the smack dab in the middle of that. And then kind of get your legs back under you, get as healthy as you can for one final push in November.
Yeah, man, it's going to be interesting. We are going to be covering the game. Unfortunately, we will not be at the game, but no worries about it at all. Make sure you are still staying tuned into RockyTopInsider.com. Make sure you're staying tuned into RockyTopInsider on both Twitter and Instagram. And then that's going to be the best way to get all of your Tennessee news, notes, and coverage heading into this game and beyond. We will be having all the live coverage that you could want for this Tennessee and Alabama game coming up this Saturday night. Otherwise, Ryan, anything left on the way out?
No, I don't really think so. I think we hit it all. It should be an interesting challenge for Tennessee. It's kind of hard to anticipate when you just don't know how many of Tennessee's main players are going to play.
Yeah, I think you're right. But either way, man, stay tuned to RockyTopInsider.com. Again, be sure to look out for our RTI game predictions. Those will be coming out before the game, either on Thursday or Friday. So be on the lookout for that. Otherwise, Ryan, let the people know where they can find you on Twitter.
You can find me on Twitter at rshump00. That's RSCHUMP00.
And you can find me on Twitter at Rick_Butler. That is RIC without a K. Otherwise, Ryan, we got a big game coming up this week. I can't wait for it. We will be live on Saturday bringing you the best coverage. Otherwise, we'll see you back sometime next week. Hey, have a great week. Have a great weekend.